it's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello and welcome to New Horizons. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Thanks for your company. Ross McGregor has been involved with the recording industry for over 40 years now, and recently he won an award known as the Country Music Hands of Fame. He joins me now. Firstly, congratulations on your recent award.
Yes, it was quite a surprise to me. I got a letter about two or three months ago from the committee saying that they'll induct me into what they call the Hands of Fame, which is held in Tamworth every year, and it's done to acknowledge people who've made a contribution to the country music industry. And when I had my studio in Sydney, I produced over 60 albums for the various country artists, and so they inducted me into the Hands of Fame, and we went down last Saturday to what they call the Hands of Fame Park, and you put your hand in the wet cement and make an imprint with your hand there, and they put a plaque there, you know, just saying who you are, and so it's a great experience, and like I said, there's a real surprise for me.
You're quite known for being one of the very few blind people in Australia who has successfully run a recording studio. Why don't you tell us a bit about you and how you got started in that?
Right, well, I was doing music. This was back in the early 70s. I played piano and keyboards, and I was doing gigs around Sydney, just playing a trio. And but I always wanted to do recording. I wanted to work in the background of music, recording and arranging music and producing albums. So I started with a little four-track machine. It's called a Sony four-track. It's one they built actually for the quadraphonic days when they were trying to get quadraphonic music going. And I bought that, and then I just gradually expanded, and then I opened the studio in 75 and started off with what they call an eight-track machine. And then I gradually expanded up to a 16 and eventually a 24-track. And I just mainly bought all off-the-shelf equipment. I put brown labels on, you know, quite a few of the channels on the mixer. I had a mixing console, which was 36-channel, so the mixer was about 6 foot long, like a table, about 6 foot long, and just covered with knobs and buttons and connector plugs. And so I put brown labels on the channels there, and then I bought a meter from, at the time it was Science for the Blind in America. I had a buzzer meter, so you hook it up to the channel, and then when you reached a certain level, it would buzz to let you know that you, if you're recording too loud. And that was basically, also in the early days, well, I used a Perkins, and I got a Eureka, Eureka A4, and so I used that, you know, just to keep notes on the business and the projects. So it was only those two or three items that I used that were special modifications, or it was just standard, you know, off-the-shelf recording equipment.
Given the amount of technology that's available and the accessibility to a large extent in recent years, I think very few people would understand what recording, you know, 30, 35, 40 years ago was like. And in some respects, I suppose you could say it was more accessible than today's methods.
Computer recording now is becoming a lot more accessible, say, in the last two or three years than, say, it was in the early 2000s, you know, when people started using software-based recording. And so we went through a bit of a dark period there for a while. In probably the last two or three years, the access is getting a lot better with the scripts that are written. And with, I think, change, so Windows 10, I think, is enabled quite a bit of that. And then there are various hardware devices around that they make, they're called control surface, and they're actually like a little unit with knobs and buttons and switches on it, and you actually use that to control aspects of the computer, whereas in previous days you would have had to point the mouse and click something. These days you can just actually adjust the knob or push the switch to make adjustments. So it's got a lot better in the last few years. It's certainly back in the early days, once you could read the levels, You know, you more or less could manage things quite well. Back in those days, we used to splice tape to do editing. Like, you'd cut the tape. If you wanted to edit two bits of music together, you'd put the tape in a block and then run a razor blade across it to do a 45-degree cut. And then you'd affix the splicing tape to that. And I actually did quite a lot of that. And once again, you'd have to be, learn your own little techniques to do it in your own style. But because these days with computers, well, that's all out the window. You can, it's much easier to do edits these days. So back in those days, so. And of course, once you made a cut on a tape, or if it's the wrong place, well, you'd be stuck. You have to go back and remix it again and then do a new cut. So.
You've produced, as you said, in excess of 60 albums for the country music industry. Who are some of the people you've produced for?
Well, like, if you're a country music fan, you might know some of the names. So I have Evelyn Berry, Owen Blundell, Ian Blundell, Reg Poole, Glenn Jones, ladies in Sydney called Ivy Summerfield. Also worked with Mary Schneider. She's quite a famous yodeler. Norma Murphy, and I also did some recording with Alan Caswell. Some people may know his name, and John Williamson. I did one or two tracks with John, so there's a few names there that people may know if they're not into country music. But as well as those 60, in total I did 300 albums the time I was in Sydney, and that was in all different music styles. Just about any music style you could imagine, I did those. Plus, I did quite a lot of spoken word material, like tutorials or language training tapes. I did quite a few of those. And also, I did work for Peter Coombe. He was a very well-known children's songwriter. He recorded for ABC Records. And I did about 8 albums with Peter. So probably a lot of people would know him from maybe their childhood. He wrote songs for kids, say, age between 5 and 12 or 13. So a lot of people like his music. And I actually was awarded 3 gold albums for the work I did with Peter, 3 of his albums that were what they call million sellers, or platinum or gold sellers in Australia. And got awarded what they call an ARIA award for those. So he might have been, I suppose, the most famous person that I work with. And he was more than, as I say, the children's music, you know, rather than country music.
Mm. And are you still recording today?
Yes, well, I moved to Tamworth in 2000 and using a computer-based setup now. Over the last probably 4 or 5 years, I haven't done much. I've just been doing more live playing. I do quite a lot of playing now in aged care facilities. We travel around and entertain folks there. But since I won the award, I'm now reviving my recording career, and I'm now promoting myself through my website to say to people who want to do an album, if you're looking for someone to produce the album, or I have a certain style of producing, certain way of mixing, so if my style, you know, suits them or suits their style, or they may want me to record for them. Or, my style is not so much like the current country music. To me, it's gone a bit too rocky and rock and rollish, so I tend to mix in a more traditional style and arrange that way. So I'm just saying to artists, you know, if they want someone who does my style, well, I'm available to do work for them. And I am doing, I've got a studio at home now, and I'm doing just quite a lot of small jobs, just where I play piano for someone, or I also do piano accordion. I'm doing piano accordion for a bloke at the moment. They just send me the files on the email, and I just play the accordion and send it back to them. And I've just finished a job 3 months ago for a local Tamworth artist. She went over to Nashville to do an album, and I did all the, what they call the pre-production demos with her before she went. So, yes, I'm doing lots of little jobs and still chasing up album production work for NBD.
What would you say are some of the most exciting things from your point of view to have happened to the recording industry over your time in it?
Well, I suppose the introduction of computers, I suppose, there's a lot of things now a lot easier to do on a computer than they were on the old tape days. And a lot more things you can do that you can never could do in the old tape days. Like, for example, now you have auto-tune where you can correct someone's pitch on their vocals or on their playing. And I think especially for us in the last, as I said before, a couple of years, it's become quite a lot more accessible. So it's probably generally just the use of computers makes it easy to do lots of tasks. These days you can mix the track and then you can save all the settings, and you can listen to a couple of days' time and just make adjustments to the mix. Whereas you could never do that in the old studio days, because you'd have to set up your mixing console, and you might be adjusting maybe 500 or 600 knobs and buttons and switches, and you couldn't leave them set like that for 2 or 3 days, because you'd have to zero the desk again for the full project you might be doing tomorrow or the next day. And then if you wanted to go and do the mix again on the one you did last week, you've got to reset those 500 knobs and buttons and switches again to where they were. And unless you wrote all them down, which you wouldn't do, it's very difficult to recreate a mix that you've done last week. But of course, on the computer, it's all the settings are saved in the memory. So,
as a blind person, how do you drum up business, and how do you find that's changed over the years?
I think as a blind person, it's probably a bigger point that you have to, because you can't have a lot of things come along which can attempt to derail you or put you off or discourage you, and you just have to keep that focus. Because I believe if you have that focus, when things come up that might be a problem, you approach it with the idea, okay, well, I've got to find a solution to this. I've got to find a way around it somehow or other. And it's what they used to say, called natural thinking, that you have to think, well, okay, well, I can't do it this way. How can I do it? Or can I try it this way or that way? And if you have that strong focus, well, you're more determined to find a way around whatever problem might be that's come up, and then hopefully find a solution, and then enable you to keep moving forward. So, I think that's the main point, I think, is get a clear idea of what you want to do and know what your strengths are and what you can and what you can't do. If you do have some weaknesses, well, then say, okay, I've got to really work on that and become a better person at this and that, or whatever it is. But just hang on to that focus despite whatever delays come along, or setbacks or disappointments. Just keep focused on that where you want to go.
Now, you've already mentioned that since you've won your award, it has changed things a little bit for you. But what does it mean for you in your future, do you think?
Well, I think it's kind of revived my enthusiasm, I suppose, to get out and try and chase a bit of work again. With the award, I just felt, well, I still can continue production work, even though, as I said, I don't particularly relate much to the current country music sound. I still have a style that I do work in, or that I arrange music in, and I'm sure there's some artists out there who would like my style. Maybe there might not be many, but you only need 2 or 3 years to have a reasonable workflow. So I thought, well, I'll just put myself out there, and I've got a website where I talk about what I do and how I approach recording and what my philosophy is. And it's just a case of saying, I think of just saying, well, this is who I am, this is what I do. And people can either like it or lump it. Actually, for that, I'm not going to change my style to try to be compatible with today's recording technique. It's just a case of me just being myself and saying, this is what I do, this is how I mix, this is how I write, and putting it out there on the web, and we'll see what happens, see if we get the work.
Ross McGregor there, and on behalf of all of us with Blind Citizens Australia, congratulations on winning that award. If you'd like to contact Blind Citizens Australia, you can contact 1800 033 660, 1800 033 660 from anywhere in Australia. Also, you can have a look at the website bca.org.au, and you can email bca@bca.org.au. Hope you've enjoyed the program. I'll talk to you again next week.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams. Of our dreams.